Eva here, welcoming you to week 6 of the Prosperity Game Home Study Course. We had a bit of noise and echoing on the line during this class. Don't let it distract you from the juicy content. Relax and allow. Relax and allow.
So, today we have a really, really hot topic for you. It's a really big, big show.
Lots of love.
Lovely.
One of our favorite topics. What's cool about today is normally how we do this class as well as the class on health, because there's just so many different pathways we can go down, all of which are, to me, exciting to talk about, profound, thrilling, amazing, and these two apply to everybody. Everyone's got relationships in their life. Some we like, some we don't, some we're looking for, and same with health. So how we usually do this, we really let you choose the top, like, burning question or thing you want to get better at about relationships, and it will just kind of be like in the moment for coaching, and we'll hit what you think is important to you rather than us choosing for you. And before we do that,
I want to know if you used the work last week, and if so, tell us about it.
Go ahead, Andrea.
Okay. I did it, and I did it a couple times with my husband. And what I realized was most of my anger and frustration with him is about not being heard or not being loved or feeling that I'm loved. But I also realized that I have to respect and love and listen to and stand up for myself if I expect him to do the same.
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good thing to notice, too, about relationships. And I heard this in the Abraham tape again, which really reminded me of it. If whatever you're experiencing from others, like coming towards you, what you're attracting from others, you have a vibration of that. So you're going to want to check in if you're wanting love or you're wanting patience. Where am I not being patient? Do I need to be more patient? Let me be that which I ask for so I can be a match to it.
Okay.
Good. That's awesome.
This is Pat. Sometimes I find out I don't have to do any more than ask the first question, which is it true?
Right.
Yeah.
And then I just forget that and go on.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Well, great. Good. Fine. Whatever. Yeah, me too.
That's what I love about the work is after you get used to playing, well, it didn't take long, actually. If you really get to it, if you're really honest with yourself when you ask those questions, it just dissipates it. Just like you say, ask one question. Sometimes it's not the first question for me. Sometimes it's the last one, or sometimes
yeah.
It's... But it's just, they're so powerful. So powerful.
You know, Andrea, it's edgy and it's bold, and people would pay big bucks to go do this sort of exercise in a diet at a seminar.
Yeah.
Get your mate, and this goes for all of you, if you want to learn a lot, write down everything, every issue, anything that bugs you, whether it's reoccurring or it just happens once in a while about your mate or any frustrations, and then they do the same about you, and then you each do your worksheet on those topics, and then you share them with each other.
Okay.
And it's, let's say, Andrea, do him sharing his with you,
mm-hmm.
You just receive. You're not fighting. You're not defending. You're just really receiving, and you're checking for, is there any truth to that? Am I like that? Do I do that? You have to be in the space where you are really open to receiving feedback for the sake of creating something better, not just want to hear how bad you are or how you're messing up.
This is not the thing to do in the throes of anger and that kind of place. It's not where you want
right.
to sit down and do it. You got to be coming from a neutral place at the time.
Okay. Thank you.
Nancy, and I actually bought some of the CDs of her work.
Ooh.
I kind of had a strong reaction to it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's things I loved about it. I couldn't stand the way she called everyone sweetie and darling. But other than that,
you don't like saccharine.
Well, it just didn't feel that sincere to me. But I do it all the time.
So is it really true? Is it really true?
But the thing that I was kind of wrestling with is, in the little bit that I got to listen to, is the way she really focuses on accepting what is, and that this is the way it's supposed to be because it's the way it is. So she's really very Buddhist in that way. And that was the one part were, I kind of had a little noogie around it just because it was, because we can change what is.
You can change your perspective.
You can change your perspective?
You can change how you choose to feel.
You can't change what is in this now moment.
Oh, that's true.
Okay, so if I can't change what's happening around me or over there or with him or with her, then I surrender to what is, and I can be, if I'm not in resistance, I'm in allowing.
Yeah. Okay.
And you can change what you attract in the next moment, and what Eva said is the most important thing. I can change my perspective on it from, this is not a good thing and it should be a different way, to, this is what is and I'm going to be with this.
Okay.
And being with this could mean not being there.
Absolutely.
Being not in resistance, whatever that might mean for
as
you.
As opposed to beating ourselves in the head trying to change it, say, this is the way it is. Guess what? I'm out of here.
Exactly. Exactly. Boy, I'm such a big proponent of that. I've always been, well, particularly younger in more rebellious days, as that meant picking up in the middle of a conversation in my own place, I would get up and leave. It's like, I'm out of here. But that was coming from resistance.
Yeah.
But really being okay. And it is about just changing your perspective, because there are people and circumstances that right in this red-hot moment, they can't or don't know how to change. If there's somebody who's out of work and they haven't worked for a year and they really can't pay their bills, if there's nothing they can do about it in this moment, they can still change their perspective about it. They can still choose to reach for thoughts that feel better. This is where they get to be the queen of denial, president of the denial club. Never face reality unless you like what you see. And all that means is you have a different perspective.
And I love what Eva said, even though she said she was doing it when she's rebellious, she still does it now because she knows better. This is a new practice for me, I must say, probably in the last few years, is especially when you're in front of someone face-to-face, and it's easier on the phone, but when you're face-to-face with someone and something comes up and you can't be with what is, because if you feel like you do, you're going to, like, have a freak-out session right in front of them or going to say things that aren't necessarily true, is, you know what? I can't talk about this right now because I'm in major reaction. I'm going to go in the other room. Or I'm going to go for a drive or a walk or whatever it is, but you vacate the premises until you can come back. And it doesn't mean you let them, quote, get away with it or you make it okay. If you come back when you can have a conversation and make requests and state how you're feeling from a place of more centeredness. Because when you're separated from yourself like that, it's going to take a lot longer to get through it, and you're just going to be reacting versus really having a conversation that moves the relationship forward. How many times have you gotten upset with a customer service person somewhere, either in a store or on the phone, you know, like, oh, they're so stupid. It's like, wait a minute. Who's stupid? If I'm going to let this person get so riled up, it's probably not the best time to chat, and I'm not going to get the service I want if my energy is chaotic. I'm going to get chaotic back.
Yeah, hi, it's Maura. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Maura.
I did the work.
And?
You know what I decided to do? I did it around one of my three goals. The $50,000 pampering money. I had a statement that every time I tried to visualize a script about it, it was, I can't earn this, therefore I can't have it kind of thing, you know? How in the world am I can't possibly earn this money in this time. And it was really fun because by the first is it true, I realized there's so many other ways that money can come. It helped me get rid of that. Every time I tried to script or visualize it, that disappointed feeling I'd get, that, oh, I'm just, you know, what am I thinking here? You know, it helped me get past that, just that little glitch of disappointment every time I would work around this goal or think around this goal. I think I turned it around to something like I'm in abundant expectancy of my $50,000. You know, I took earn out of the whole equation.
That's good, taking earn out of it. Now, how does it feel when you think about it now?
Now, you know what? When I think about it, I think about right now all the things, all the joyful things I'm doing that I would do if I had the money anyway. Like, now I think of it as it's on its way and I'm going to start living like I have it. And that doesn't mean I'm running around spending it, you know, in the real world, but I'm going, yes, of course I can take this dance class. Of course I can have the work schedule I want. Of course I can dream and fantasize about the next movie because I've got the money and the time, you know? So it's a whole new place to play around the $50,000.
It's kind of like you're. It's time for you. I'm just pulling this from my book. It's very in front of my face because I'm doing the audio version right now. But it's the chapter about readying for the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Time you feel like you're spinning your wheels, or you don't know how, or like you've just done the work around this, and the assuming that it's here. So therefore, even though I'm not signing up for the class right now, the dance class right now, I can. I'm now going to ready for the harvest. I'm going to look at where in my schedule I'll be able to fit this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look at starting to look for all that new furniture for me, in my case, looking for that new furniture.
Mm-hmm.
and starting to decide, you know, what the style is going to be for this particular room, and collecting the data. This is what I call ready for the harvest, which is start now. Every single one of you, for every one of your goals that you put out there, is just begin to assume it's a done deal. And if it is, what would you be doing to get ready for it?
And Eva, to add to that, I found I have a lot of things in the here and now that are the essence of what I want the $50,000 for, which is I was sort of like slaving and earning it at menial, tiring jobs, and I went, I can take an easier job, more flexible, and I can do that now. And I can decide to put my energy towards creative projects now, and that's what that money means to me, being able to pamper myself and have more free time. And a lot of that essence of it is here when I don't get into the work ethic and the I better save and scrimp and, you know, do it sometime in the future.
No kidding. Good job.
Yeah. So I like to work on that.
I just want to say something real fast. I looked at my universe list. You know, I made a new universe list, I don't know, first of the year. And guess what's at the top of it? My
what?
Cat's ears.
Oh.
And so that's the first thing I got this year. My cat's been fine.
Is that the top of the list? I didn't hear it.
My cat. I have this
cat
with this chronic ear infection.
Yes.
I just opened it up and I looked, and there it is at the top. It says, thank you, universe, for taking this on, and it says Taz's ears.
Mm.
I'm ready to believe anything.
That's so inspiring.
Yes.
So, anybody else want to talk about anything besides the work before we move into relationships?
This is Andrea, and I just have a question. At the beginning of each class, you know, we have our three goals that we list on our worksheet, and then where we are from 0 to 10.
Uh-huh.
And I approach that in two different ways, where I am mentally with the finances and my relationships and everything, but when I chart it, I don't have $35,000 in the bank or anything, so I chart it low. Is there a better way to do that, or should I be doing it?
A lot of times we'll ask people at the end of the 90 days, rate yourself from 1 to 10, how you got these goals. And some people will say, I don't have the goal, but I know I'm totally in alignment with it. I've taken inspired actions. I feel great about it. I don't have it, but I'm at a 10. So
okay.
If you feel great about it, then maybe your rating would be higher. Give me an example.
Finances.
Okay.
You know, I feel like my perspective on it is really good, like 8 or a 9, but in actuality, like money in the bank, I'm at a 2.
The 2 is not serving you.
Okay.
You're seeing it as a 2, that does not serve you at all, because it's all about how you feel. Everything
okay.
is about how you feel. So if you keep that focus on how you feel and take it off of that 2, you're going to open it up even more.
Okay.
If you're all doing this at the beginning of each chapter, there is a place to rate yourself, and it's designed to keep you focused on what you want and look at where you're vibrating rather than judge yourself. Oh, I'm at a 2. I suck, you know, I'm not going to get this. That's not helpful. But if you say, okay, I'm at a 2, but what would bring me to a 6? Do I need to take an action? Do I need to let go of something? I mean, that's the most useful way to use the rating. If the rating is making you feel bad, by the way, don't do it.
Okay.
Not
Thank
helpful.
You.
Can I ask a question about that?
Of course.
It sometimes it feels like focusing on the goal really tells me I really don't want it.
Yeah. The question is?
Well, I'm like, not sure that's okay. I'm like, feels an awful lot sometimes like, man, I just don't, I want it if it's going to just plop down here.
<You know? laughs>
But if I'm going to have to, like, do a whole lot of stuff about it, I'm not really that interested. Plopping, I'm thrilled.
So did someone tell you you had to do a bunch of stuff about it?
I guess so.
Is that
Who would
true?
That be?
All right, I'm going for plopping. Plopping down.
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you know there's something to do? You'll know, because you'll get the urge to do it, or it'll come down to you, and
okay.
when you're in the shower, and you'll get that inspired action, and you'll do it.
Okay, well, I can get that, because that really does happen, but these are like things I'm not sure that plop, but I think maybe they could. I just don't know. I don't know enough yet.
They can if you decide they can.
Okay. I'm the doer. I'm a doer.
Well, you know what would be a powerful exercise for you then? I would script and script how.
Plopping.
I mean, yeah. You know, normally they don't do this.
Yeah.
I was talking with a client yesterday, and she was saying how she sent me a script. And I said, wow, that's really cool. You came up with some great ideas. And she said, I thought it was boring. Okay. And she said what got in her way is every time she would script out a goal or make it really huge, her mind would instantly go to, well, how's that going to happen? And then she'd get defeated. And I said, well, the next time you do it, why don't you script on the how? Like, okay, I mean, you can make it right. Scripting's about making it wild, having a good time. So you might script something like, give me one of your goals that you think you have to take a bunch of action on.
I have to write the first draft of my big wish book.
First draft of your big wish book, okay?
Well, I love the book. It's just the actual sitting down. I just been like, God, I got so many other things I want to do.
So I would script. I would sit down about how you sit down in front of your computer. Is that how you do it on your computer or do it from hand?
Yeah.
Sit down in front of my computer, and I get a download of information. I get so excited, I lose track of time.
Okay.
You know, and you can just start going from there. You could say something wild. I sit down to do my wish book, and this amazing animal flies in front of my window, and all of a sudden I get this hit, the greatest idea ever for the book.
Okay.
I mean, you're doing the wish book because it's fun, right?
Right, exactly.
That's doing things that's not fun around it, defeating the whole purpose of the wish book. It'll come in perfect timing. This is what I've also...
Yeah, that's exactly what I think. Like, there are times when I sit down and it just flies, and then there are times, like, I don't want to sit down.
Don't, Holly.
Stand up. Okay.
Another friend of ours did, Mary Allen, if you know who she is. When she was writing the lessons that later turned into her book, she would take her laptop down to the beach, or she would take her laptop down to the park and write there because it was way more creative and fun, and then it didn't seem like a chore. Or she would invite someone over, and maybe her boyfriend, and he would sit in the room with her even though he wasn't talking to her, because that made it seem like, oh, okay, we're just hanging out. You can also change your environment. Helpful?
Yeah, I just got an idea. I think I'm going to take a tape recorder because it's the actual sitting down that I don't want to do.
Aha.
I could be talking.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm seeing that now. It's sitting down, being still. Mm.
So everybody gets to throw out one question or thing that they want to make sure that we cover about relationships. Nancy. Not to put you on the spot.
One thing. The thing that sticks up for me, the thing about not being resistant to what is and still getting to want what you want.
The only way to get what you want is not being in resistance.
Okay. King Pat.
Uh-oh. I don't know.
So all of your relationships are just stellar?
No. I'm thinking of how to phrase the question. But being loaded.
Say it the wrong way and be loaded when you say it.
I guess, how do we get into that place of allowing what is when someone else is throwing whatever at us, and the whole thing about not guilty necessarily, but where we have to shift and say, okay, you know, they're responsible for their reaction to me, and it's not me, and I didn't do anything wrong, and it's not my fault.
So not taking on other people's stuff?
Right.
Okay. That's a good question. Great. Judy.
Shifting my perception of people based on history so that I am in a different way, so that I can envision responding in a different way than I ever have, but I'm stuck in the history of how I've seen somebody.
Okay, great. Andrea?
Yeah, mine is, how do you focus on what you want in the positive without getting bogged down with the negative? That has been huge in my relationship with my husband.
Mm. Without looking at all his blaring faults?
Yes.
I'm teasing.
But that's what it looks like.
I know. I'm going to recommend a great book if I haven't already said it in this class. If you don't have it, you all need to get it, and it's called Leadership and Self-Deception.
Leadership and Self-Deception?
Mm-hmm. Because most of the time what happens in relationships, especially with a mate or someone that you're close to, you start formulating a story about how they're going to react before anything's ever happened. And in that moment, when you do that, you're actually deceiving yourself. And then when you see them, what happens is you come from a place as if they've already done something wrong or they've irritated you, and nothing's happened. It's all based on what the assumption that you're making is about to happen. It's a very powerful book, and it's written as a fable in a corporation.
Oh, that sounds exactly like what I do.
Yeah, we all do it. Alan?
Yeah, my question is, can I engage in relationships of different, whatever, intensities or variations that may not be my necessary ideal, and then keep focusing on the ideal, or will engaging in those nice but not exactly what I want, will that take my focus off of it enough?
I think that Eva should answer that question right now, because she helped me with this about 4 years ago.
Great question. This is Maura. That is a great question.
It is a great question. And here's what you want to do. Enjoy them all and pick the pieces that you like about them as you keep honing the clay for the ideal that's coming. Let's say you didn't do that. Let's say everybody decided that we were only going to go after our ideal. There would be no dating, no socializing, no nothing, and you'd never find them.
So, you wouldn't have any friends either.
Yes, exactly. And so as you're setting out your intentions for what you want and you get people starting to show up, hey, the first time you meet them, do you have to start deciding, is this my ideal? Is this going to be who I'm with for life? Forget about it. Just go enjoy the relationship for the time of the relationship. Get very clear on the pieces you really love about this relationship. When the relationship is over, you move on to the next. Or you may have several at the same time. That's okay, too. That's up to you. But it's really looking for what you do want and getting clearer and clearer and clearer until eventually the ideal will show up and you will be in a vibrational space to accept the ideal. Because what you're also doing, if these people are coming into your life, is you're actually working on changing your own vibration so that you're at the level of what you're looking for.
You know, Andrea, this is a great way for you, too, to get in alignment with your husband. So
mm-hmm.
as you move through your day, let's say the first person you interact with is someone in a public place, a customer service person, and they do something that you love, so you focus on that. And then you focus on something someone in your family does that you like. You start
okay.
looking for the qualities versus everything's got to come from your mate.
Okay.
Because right now you set him up to lose. He's got to be your be-all, end-all to make you happy. He has to behave in a certain way versus, hey, I'm just looking at all the things I'm liking out there from different people, and I want more of that.
Okay.
Nobody can live up to being the one. Nobody. I don't care how good your relationships are. You're going to have to find what you need from the places that is an easy match for you, as will your mate.
Is that helpful?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me it's a fine line of staying focused, enjoying what is, and then deliberately creating and focusing on more of what I want. It's like a balance.
When I heard you say deliberately create, there's this, ooh, this thing I have to do to make sure I don't fall off the wrong end of this fine line. When
no.
in fact, the truth is, all your desires are going out there. They're skyrocketed out there constantly, every single second. All you need is, how does it feel? How am I feeling right now? And if you took your focus off all of the, what do I do to deliberately create, you're deliberately creating all the time if you're feeling good.
Yeah.
So what will come to you will exceed your expectations. Don't have to rein it in so tightly. You really don't. So what's coming up?
Well, I think that's the key, is focusing on what feels good, because then I'll just get more of that.
Yes, and the desires that you have as you're feeling good and the things that you're looking at that you're enjoying are honing that clay. You don't have to work at it.
And you don't have to take it so seriously either.
Yeah,
like, if you're trusting that you're going to get what you want, then you can go out and just experience different people. There's some friends that we like to go out and play with. There's some friends that we like to talk to because we can have stimulating conversations. We choose people based on what we love about them when we just do those things. I'm not going to call the person that I love to play with if they're not good at talking about serious problems and they have a serious problem. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to go look where it's easy and there's no resistance. But that doesn't mean that I boot out the playful friend, right? So you should just stop being attached. Because even if you don't think you are, I feel it. And like Eva said, there's just some heaviness. It sounds like drudgery.
We just ignore the stuff that's just not what we're attracted to? I mean, within
why would you want to put your focus on it?
So what you're saying is just focus on what's great. And
if you're focused on what's great, you're focused on what's in vibration with you, and what you're going to attract is more that's in vibration with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, gotcha. And so the focus
that's
is
it.
Never another focus. It's always that focus.
That's it. And that's where we get ourselves sort of tangled up, is when we do start noticing the things that, you know, we don't like.
Now, here's a playful exercise. And, Andrea, I'm going to speak directly to you since you brought it up. Sorry.
That's okay.
I would pick one of the biggest things that irks you about your mate.
Okay.
And I would look at it as an opportunity, and I would start appreciating it when it happens, and your job is to actually be with it and stay neutral. Like, get curious about it. Like, I wonder why he does that, or I wonder what's going on for him right now. And just you manage your energy versus stop trying to get him to be different, and start being curious about why do you react the way that you do when he does that thing that he does.
Okay.
Because until you don't get charged by it, I promise you it's going to keep happening.
Yeah.
So, cool. Opportunity for me to grow. People pay big bucks in seminars to go do things like this. And I have a seminar in my own home. Perfect.
Free training.
And by the way, you know, the more that you look at what you do like, and as much as you can, is to really identify the things you truly do appreciate about him. There's something that compelled you to come together originally.
Right.
If you can get back to that, and what was that about, or what are the things that, even though you want to kill him, that there are some things that are really, that you can appreciate or admire about him, to look at those. Because the more you do that, it's not so much that it's going to have you stay with him, it's going to have you relax your vibration so that whoever is right will start to show up. And it might be he goes away, it might be that you two actually do work it out. But either way, you're going to feel good about it.
Okay.
What are the burning questions you would have around laws of attraction and relationship as it pertains to you and a relationship?
How do you create an ongoing team in relationship? Like,
what kind of team?
Like a support team that just cheers you on. That, I don't really have a clear question yet. Go ahead. Somebody else ask and I'll...
Well, it's a great question, and let's ask that, because who couldn't use an ongoing, amazing support team?
That's what I find is, in my line of work, I get in my head a lot. As soon as I'm in my head, I'm dead. I think anywhere I get in my head, I plummet. And when I'm not in my head, I'm flourishing. So it's important for me to have people that I can get out of my head in an instant, or email, or talk to, or just go out and go for a walk, whatever, that I know are supporting me. So it's not about me anymore. That's where the break is that I keep making it about me and my own problems as opposed to helping other people. I'm forming a team right now to help me do some 90-day goal stuff, which I was inspired to do. I found that I have five people that I know, two have already committed and three or four others that would be delighted to be on. And I was looking through this list of like 400 people, and those are the only people I came up with. And I'm like, well, how do I expand this?
Well, I would look for what is the ideal, what kind of person would be on your ideal team. And then if you're still not clear and nobody comes to you, then just put it on the universe's side of the placemat to bring it to you. Either put the person right in front of you or download the idea into your head.
This is not like a mastermind, right? This is specifically for your support only?
Totally for my support.
Okay.
And then I also want them to have an intention, too, that they want to get out of it. Like one of the girls wants to be fit, slim, and sexy. That's her whole thing. In the next 90 days, she's going to get fit, slim, and sexy. And another guy is going to double his business.
You can ask your team, the people you already have on the team,
exactly,
to find somebody else, too.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yes, I was just going to say that. You just find four or five people that you know and ask them about two or three people they know.
Another way you can do it is when you need in-the-moment support. It's not that I even try. I know that I instantly want to feel better, so I constantly reach out, as Eva well knows.
Yeah.
And I just look for in the moment, based on whatever issue is up, who would be the perfect person to support me. And I pick up the phone. And I don't wait long, because if I've done my processes that I can do and I've taken a walk and I'm still not finding my place of peace, I'm on the phone immediately.
Nina, this is Sherry.
Yes.
I want to echo that when I have done that, invariably when I've called someone out of the blue because their name popped in my mind first as the one who could help me, my calling them, asking for help, was always something they needed to have happen. Somehow what I shared with them was something they also needed to hear. So for me, framing it as, not just always me looking for help, but trusting that by me going to get help, they in turn are getting the chance to help. It gives me chills when I think about the fact that they say, I absolutely needed to be needed today.
Mm.
Every time it happens. Which has helped me be more comfortable with the asking place. Was that appropriate response?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's a really good way to hold it mm-hmm. and to feel that you're not putting off or putting on somebody something that maybe they don't want because you're asking for something yourself, but really holding it in that light is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering what Frank wanted in a support group, a support person.
I want people knowing, seeing me for my greatness and knowing that I can do it. Like when I wrote the book, I wrote it in 90 days. I said I was going to make $1 million, but I never did. But still, I wrote a book in 90 days, start to finish. And I know I can do the same thing with whatever I set for real estate because I know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
If I say I'm going to make $150,000 in 90 days, like there's no doubt, like I could do it. You know, like wow. I do want people to be in awe of me, going wow. You know, like I want that. I need it for myself. You know, I don't get it from. You know, sometimes I don't get it from myself. I like that. I mean, that's my personality. I like people rooting for me, you know. I played sports.
One way that you can also get that is the people that are around you all the time, even if they haven't been showing up as really acknowledging and championing you, is to start requesting it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a girlfriend of mine who's also a coach, and she's an acknowledgement hound. She loves it. It's what she thrives on, so she constantly is asking for it. And wants to be the center of attention and request exactly what she needs so that she feels better about herself. So you can ask the people in your life, even if they haven't been showing up that way. It's what we tell you here in this class. If you're not getting what you want from us, it's up to you to ask for what you want. And you're designing the alliance with us. Just for those of you who are coaches, you're doing the same thing with your clients. Those of you in partnerships and with mates, you're constantly designing the alliance between each other. And sometimes we find, oh, you know, I didn't request this way back in, and maybe we need to redesign our alliance right now because I'm needing more of blank from you, whatever it is.
And the other thing, too, is the acknowledgement that you do feel you need, which I think that's what you're talking about, Gina, even yesterday in a conversation. And I said, you know, next time we have a conversation, would you please remind me of this and this and this? And I went, oh, yeah, yeah, I get it. So now all the structure is in place.
Say that again. All the structure.
In other words, you can go to people to ask for support, and then as you're clear on what that support needs to look like or what you need to hear,
uh-huh.
you even get that specific. Like, next time I call you about this, would you please remind me of this, this, and this? That's the breakthrough that has happened in the moment. It's like, okay, if this ever happens again, please remind me of this. I want you to say this, remind me of that. I'm thinking, oh, right on, I'm right there. Now I know exactly what you need, and it's, you know, and even you've told me, so...
Right, okay.
Especially for you, Frank, like the same thing that I go to Eva for all the time, it's a specific related topic, and it seems to be the same topic all the time. So as I'm moving my way to a higher vibration through it and I'm learning, I'm telling her, because I usually come with the same two or three things about the same topic. And now she knows, now remember, Gina, what you said last time was blank, blank, and blank. Oh, yeah, thanks. And you have the same thing going on. Yours is about attracting money easily. So you've moved through and you've learned things and you know that you get in the flow and you know what it feels like to be in the flow. So go back to that and remember what worked and then remind your support team to remind you about those things that worked for you before.
Got it.
You also want a bunch of yes people around you. Yes, you can.
I do. I really
yes,
do.
Yes,
it's
yes.
so funny. Yeah. Yes people. I used to think that in the sense that it wasn't good. But now my life's way different. Now it's like, yeah, I want yes people.
Takes on a whole new meaning.
It totally does.
I'm going to also talk a little bit right now just because I thought of you and your book, Frank, and something you just slipped out a few moments ago was
yeah.
about, I wrote a book in 90 days with the intention of, did you say making $1 million or selling $1 million?
Making $1 million. I wanted to sell 50,000 copies.
And you said, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And I think you need to create a new alliance, a new relationship with your book.
Game not over, necessarily.
Yeah, I got it.
I took a relationship course at the Coaches Training Institute, and I thought it was so brilliant because part of what they taught was they would have two people make believing it was a couple, and they were facing each other in a dyad position. And the coach would come around and say, okay, what's the topic here? And they would bring up the topic, and they would ask partner A, what does this relationship need? And partner A would answer, and then partner B, what do you think the relationship needs? And partner B would answer, and then they said, okay, now there's a third entity here, and that's called the relationship itself. It's the third person. What does the relationship say it needs from both of you? That's a really great game to play in your relationships and in relationship to other things. Like a book. A book is like an extension of you. Any of you who have created something and you're wanting to play with it and you're still in the midst of creating like a business, it's you're in relationship with it. And same thing with your body. You're in relationship with it. Partnership. Design the alliance. If the alliance isn't working, redesign it. And you get to ask for anything you want. Because remember, that other person always has a choice. They can say yes, no, or they could say another option. Who else has a question or a desire around relationships?
This is Sherry. Okay. I have a question. Here's the piece. I'm pretty good about gathering all my little chickens around me and asking for help. The piece that I'm becoming really aware of is this powerful sense of responsibility I have. So I ask people to come in and help me get my mind around a business plan or to move forward or to actually help me tackle something that's pretty messy where you have to be kind of vulnerable. I feel this sense of responsibility that I better succeed or I better no longer think that thought anymore or somehow have real tangible improvement because they've given that to me.
Is that true? Is that true that you need to have that responsibility and you must succeed because now you've got these other people's energy involved?
No, and I know I'm caught in my mind that most people are not expecting that in return, and then that's perhaps irrational, but it's really coming up lately that the more I'm out there being really clear, you know, like I said to some people this week, okay, I'm going to come in here and I want you to tell me how beautiful I look because I'm getting ready to go somewhere and speak. I'm gotten really clear on asking, but there's this piece of me that feels I need to always have it together. Because people have invested in me. People are out here telling other people about me.
So tell us what it means to you in your mind. What does having it all together look like? Like, what have you made up that that's supposed to look like?
Financially successful, having a calendar full as a speaker. Some people like to tell people I'm funny. I hate that because then you're like, so be funny. You know, there's a sense of needing to be as grand as people are saying I am.
Would you like to shift your perspective on
I would love
it all together? Okay, good. Because I used to have that same
really?
Belief, and Eva met me and when I had that same belief, and I had it smashed to smithereens, thank goodness,
okay.
Shortly thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned is having it all together is not what anyone expects. What people are truly expecting and what's inspiring and what's successful and what makes you connect and have better results for anybody that you work with is you just simply being authentic. And so if you're having a bad day, then you can either fake it or you can say, you know what? And someone says, how you doing? And you say, you know,
it's
so hot. I can be better.
Well,
and
you know,
my way to getting better. And the truth is,
yeah. And I will tell you that probably people would be surprised that I worry about it because I will tell you all of my warts and that I'm not having a good day. It's a real internal thing I've just actually given voice to, that there is a piece of me that feels like I'm letting people down. I don't think I fake it, but there's some dissonance on the inside. Like one of these days they're just going to walk up to me and go, okay, you're just not as grand as I thought you were. I'm not trying to do a pity party. I'm just saying there's a sense of responsibility now as I move into my greatness that I really need to now produce success.
Do you realize that moving into your greatness is just moving into being the most authentic you can be?
Mm. Yeah.
This is the freedom I know that when Gina's talking about busting it to smithereens at a leadership, I was told I was a pure eccentric. all this time I was told I needed to be, you know, I had to act a certain way, I had to have certain etiquette, you know, I worked for IBM, there were certain things that they put on you with expectations of how what that has to look like. All of a sudden I was told, no, you don't. Your authentic, normal self is this eccentric self, and you have full permission to be that. And it is an immensely freeing thing to know that I can be quirky, and I can be obnoxious, and I can be loud and exciting, and I can stumble around my words, and I can just be who I am and still make an impact. And, in fact, make a better impact when you're not so caught up in how do I look, how am I acting, what are the words that are coming out of my mouth.
Right.
You know, it's like me, and worrying about what the expectation is out there. It's just saying, hey, here is who I am. Those that are attracted to me and who I am is who I'm here for. Because you can't please everybody. You may
okay.
as well please yourself.
I hear you, and I have one comment that I need you to do some coaching on this. Okay, if you all are the prosperity coaches, if I found out that you actually weren't prosperous,
you would be devastated.
I'd be devastated.
Okay, so now let's take it. How does that apply to what you're thinking about yourself?
Well, there is a piece of me that is constantly being a disciple of talking about how to break out of mindsets and how to attract all that you want in your life, and I'm a championing other people building their business.
Okay.
And so there's my fear, which I'm just kind of getting, is my husband articulates it to me. He goes, why would people hire you to help them build their business when you don't really have a big business yourself?
So this all stemmed from a gremlin.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, I just kind of got that right this minute. Shit.
How many coaches do you know out there that are coaching those in the Olympics or star football players mm-hmm. or basketball players that can do what they're coaching those people to do?
Yeah.
They can't, and they don't, and they don't even pretend to.
Yeah. But, yeah, no buts. I get it.
I want to go back to the feeling of having it all together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, know that that one in itself, yes, it is a gremlin. And the, mm-hmm. your practice is to fully embrace all the pieces of you.
Mm-hmm.
And in that embracing of and absolutely accepting, you will be in all your brilliance, period. I mean, that's your homework, if you will.
Say it again, Gina.
Is for you to accept who you are, like all the things that you perceive as together, the things that you perceive as not together, and really embrace those and love those. Because someone who does that is having it all together. I remember the day that I got permission to fully accept all the pieces of me, especially ones I didn't think where I had to have it together. And at the time, I was teaching some cash flow classes live in person where I thought, first of all, I have all these obstacles going against me in my mind. I'm young. I'm very casual in my language, and I was thinking that these people were expecting something different.
Formal, financier, business suit.
The moment I got told that my quirkiness was the thing I needed to let out more, by the way, I thought that was the most horrendous thing I'd ever heard.
We both had different reactions. I was going, thank you, God. She's going, oh, my God.
And when I started doing that, I started having so much more fun, and the people started getting a lot more results, and I felt so connected and so authentic that what came out of my mouth was what they needed, and I felt relaxed. I felt so relaxed because it was at full permission to be who I was and know that that was enough. And that's what you're talking about. Who you are is enough right now, no matter who your client is, whether they're 20 times more successful than you or not. It's not about you having it together. It's about you fully embracing and loving you.
By the way, there's another piece of this, too, and that is that when you are all your authentic selves, your humanness comes out, and then people can relate to you. Because if you're perfect and you're doing everything right all the time, it's hard to relate to that.
I'm being reminded of probably the lesson that I've constantly been working on about accepting myself. I think I'm having a gremlin about one other thing, and that's about, well, show me the money. And if I really mean what I say around attraction, or if I really mean success, and it goes back to that responsibility, is about show me the money.
So
that seems like a strange leap from what we were just talking about. But
not really.
They're connected to me. Like, where's the proof? And I would say to you that when I'm at my best, I've experienced that incredible flow when I'm authentic and messy, and I can go there. Where the gremlins show up is how can I catapult that into a successful business?
stop having that thought. Mm. Because what you're looking for is proof outside of yourself, which means you're dependent on money in order to feel good that you're aligned.
Okay, stop looking for it.
There's an attachment here, and there's a way it must look that's holding you back.
Wait, say that again? That was really cool.
There was an attachment to that and a way that it must look that's holding you back.
That's
you have
like
an attachment to it being around the money. And once you would let that go and just be in the flow for the sake of being in the flow, then the money can come.
Remember, it's about your beingness, and then you will have what you want. Having what you want, though, is not proof of success.
No, it's not.
It's your joy level. You have to be constantly checking in with your joy-o-meter. How good did I feel today? Great. You know, I was at a 9. I felt really great. Good. Your day was a success. That's what it's all about. Having a good time. Even if you didn't have joy all day, but you said, you know what? I learned a lot, and that's what I was really after, and I'm okay with that. Good. Today was a success. Who cares if you have money? Just paper.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
Do you feel complete?
I do. Yeah. What I got some lessons about how some of these, what seemed random to me, are really connected.
Mm-hmm.
That was really helpful. Yeah. Thanks.
I would think the thing to embrace for you would just be constantly showering yourself with love. Just because.
Yeah. Just because.
Excellent. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
This is where I am. I'm loving all of this. There's this paradoxical thinking that just sort of freaks me out. There's this place that says accept yourself, flaws and all. Then there's this place that's constantly work to get better. There's a place that says I deserve and want and can attract all the money I need. And there's a part of myself that says, but it means nothing.
Which part feels best?
Which part feels best?
Mm-hmm. Which of those statements feels best to you?
That I can have everything I want.
Okay.
I think.
So what you're doing is you're holding the desires lightly. So joy isn't determined by whether you have the stuff or the success or the money or not. Joy is determined by how good I feel. And there's a preference. Do I want more? Yes. And I hold it lightly. And I know it's going to be great when I have more. And right now it's pretty good, too. Is there really such a thing as a flaw, by the way?
Oh, well, true. Yeah.
Oh, gremlins.
Well, yeah, and I, you know, it's just one of these things, like one of the things that I think is charming about me is that I'll tell you, I'll show you my warts, you know, it's part of my charm, and say, you know, we're all got our messy sides and isn't that great. And on the other hand, I'm trying to be hired as a speaker, and who wants to hire a really messy, chaotic speaker? No, they're looking for someone who's precise and...
Is that really true?
Yeah,
really?
I don't know that.
Oh.
Sorry. I know. Okay. But this is what's going on in my mind, you know, that, yes, I don't want to overvalue money, for example, yet I'm looking at the goal that I set for this 4 months of $35,000 in speaking clients without doing sales.
It's not overvaluing the money. You clearly would love the money. But what you're saying is I won't be okay until I get the money. Mm-hmm. And we're saying having all the money in the world and wanting it is awesome. Do we want it? Heck yeah. We love money. But we don't need to have the money right now.
To feel good about who you are.
Yeah.
And you won't get the money if you're not feeling good.
Sorry that you have to keep beating me over the head with this
it's
one.
It's okay. I know it's okay because we do it all the time. I mean, it's just so drilled in us. It's
yeah.
It's the
I
way
think...
it is.
When you talk, you're letting a lot of your gremlins out of the bag. So I would start looking towards your language for clues about your where you hold yourself back.
Okay.
Your warts become part of your presentation,
mm-hmm.
and you don't need to do that to have the audience connect. You don't need to do that. Don't even need to consider them warts, first of all. And you don't need to be funny. You just need to show up and do your thing. And your thing can look different than it ever did. And if people were looking for polished people to be in front of the room all the time, even I would be...
Losers!
Well, it ain't happening over here. I just... Okay. So I'll look at my language. It's pretty telling, isn't it?
It is, and you could just acknowledge the gremlin for what it is. Say, okay, without that gremlin in, then what? And if
yeah.
another one comes, oh, without that gremlin, then what?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get to it.
Okay.
Good job, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
It's in there.
Great questions.
Terry, thank you so much for bringing this up. And Gina and Eva, thank you so much for your wisdom and fun.
So we have a couple more minutes left. Burning questions?
Is there a lot of homework this week? Not that I don't want
to. Are you back in your head, Frank?
No, I'm just thinking.
I want to say something about the strategic attraction plan. The strategic attraction plan is great not just for people and clients and houses. It's great for all kinds of things. The reason why I use it a lot is if I feel like if I want to be in action or I need to really get clear when I'm really wanting something that seems really important to me, I'm using it to kind of pick my brain about all the different things I want to have happen with this thing that I want. So if it was a house, I would just go off the charts, you know, asking for every single little thing I wanted in it. It is taken from a process in the book, Attracting Perfect Customers. You can do it for anything. You can do it for people that you want to attract into your life, but you can also do it for other things. I've had people do it for attracting their perfect home. I mean, you can apply it to anything. Even I did it to attract our perfect teleclass participants.
Aha.
And here we are.
And here we are. We're perfect.
Oh, one thing I know is that after I did the work, I realized that all this stuff is just stuff that I use to help me. Not something that I need to do that's going to be difficult.
Right.
Know, like, I can choose what I want to do. Even if, like, I didn't do some of the homework, I didn't make myself wrong for not doing it. It's like the first time in my life.
Oh, wow. That is a breakthrough right there.
Yeah.
You know, making ourselves wrong is wrong.
That's funny. Oh, has everybody gotten their questions answered? This is going to be the week to play with all this. Remember, it's all about you, not about them. So use what you've learned here today and be coming from a curious place with people. That's the biggest thing. Rather than putting your stuff on them or projecting things on them, just be curious.
They're like, what is it about? So what's going on for them? And what's going on for me? Oh, look, I'm getting really upset about this or irritated. Isn't that fascinating?
It's kind of like watching a movie from the theater seat. In other words, you can watch all the emotion and drama going on in the movie, but you know you're fine sitting in the theater seat.
That's perfect. Okay, gang.
Have a fabulous week.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you either.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.